today on Real Radio.
Talking about God's land, that's his. And when you rise up and you try to put political pressures and when you try to manipulate God's people, even though they be blinded and even though they be wayward from him, that's his land and they are his people. And he will not sit idle.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Cure for Hypocrisy, Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. So glad you could join us today. You know, Isaiah was the 8th century BC Jewish prophet for whom the book of Isaiah is named. Now, his prophetic book is unmatched in scope, and it covers common prophetic themes of coming judgment, as well as Israel's future restoration. But Isaiah also focuses a lot of attention on the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 28, the new section began in regards to Israel and how God deals with them when they allow prosperity to deceive them. Israel's leaders became prideful, they became self-confident, and therefore unteachable in the eyes of God. God is a wonderful counselor and an excellent guide, but he has to discipline those he loves when his warnings are ignored. Now in Isaiah chapter 29, we'll see how hypocrisy can be described as a deceitful show of good character, especially when it comes to morals and Christianity. And now continuing his lesson called The Cure for Hypocrisy, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
God knows who we are, and to slay hypocrisy in our lives is to realize that God sees everything and knows everything about us at all times. And God has given, by the way, the church and the believer a supernatural ability that the Bible calls discernment. Discernment is an amazing thing. There's the gift of discernment that is given to certain people in the body of Christ, but every believer has a level of discernment. Before you're a Christian, maybe you were gullible to things, or you just, somebody said something, it was like, oh, wow. And now as a Christian, have you noticed there's things where it's just all of a sudden, it could be somebody who says something, or you meet someone, or it's just whatever, and it's just like something's wrong. And you know what I'm talking about, where you can't put your finger on it. It's just something's wrong. And, you know, when we talk Christianese, you know, Christianese sounds like this, because we don't know what to say, we'll say things, I don't have a piece about that. Sometimes that can be a cop-out, or it can be an actual statement trying to define the discernment aspect where God is warning you. You shouldn't go into business with that person. Or you shouldn't go there. You shouldn't, that person stay away. I've noticed that children and dogs have amazing discernment. Listen. If there's somebody in your family or comes to your door and your dog is not happy with them or your kid, most of the time you watch, your dog and your kid will agree something's wrong with that person. If you think they're just sweeter than molasses, you better stop and look at the dog or the kid. You can also say, Lord, I need your insight on this person. Lord, I need to know what's up. Something's wrong. They seem to be talking to me, but their mask is a little crooked. The eyes don't line up just right. The tongue is over here, the teeth are this way, and there's a little snake tongue coming out. You know, it's like, something's wrong. Watch out. Be careful. The second thing is this, the cure for hypocrisy is that God will defend his nation. Hypocrisy, say, how does that match? Listen, God will defend his nation. Of course, Isaiah is speaking about Israel. But when I think of hypocrisy in our nation, think of our nation, America, hypocrisy. How can God bless and lead a nation when it's filled with hypocrisy? Listen, if God is going to bless and defend a nation, he's going to strip away hypocrisy. I wonder if America could even identify or recognize somebody who would be authentic on the campaign trail today. I may get in a lot of trouble with what I'm about to say, but I believe with all my heart. I believe that the church, and at least discerning people in America, I believe that we could shut down this these antics of politics, if we would pause long enough and get off Facebook and get off of Twitter and get off TV and stop long enough to ask God for wisdom and discernment and say, Lord, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to get behind the person that's going to do the right thing. And I believe we could shut down these antics and the games of politics if people who just thought, let alone the church, got behind people who really could care less how the vote goes. They just stood for truth, period. Could you think about it? You say, well, that'll never happen. You know why it'll never happen? Because the church cannot understand or figure out truth when it hits them in the face. George Washington could come back today and we'd throw him out. His own country. Listen, what would happen if Jesus came back today and walked among men? I'll tell you what happened. He'd be crucified. And today the church is blind because it's not interested in seeing the light. But God wants to defend his nation, Israel. Look, think of the most, we just heard a prayer request tonight about China's an interesting animal as a nation. It's anti-Christ, anti-God, terrified of the Bible, and yet it's the largest Christian population growing in the earth today. You think of the 180 degree opposite of that. China's losing their country, the politics. The church is exploding, the underground church is exploding in China. But what's interesting is, you know, if imagine the Chinese Christians praying, God will hear their prayer and bless their nation in spite of their leadership, because God's people are praying and interceding for their country. And listen, I want that kind of hope for America. But here's the deal. It's not Obama. It's not Clinton. It's not Trump. It's not Manny Moe and Jack. It's not Billy Barty, and it's not anybody else. Listen, it's the church. Responsibility lies at the foot of the church. Listen, this is the big deal. The church needs to cry out to, how's America going to get better? Will America get better? You think it's going to come from the politics? You're wrong. It's going to come from the church obeying God. He wants to defend this nation. Will he? He wants to. Verse 7 says, the multitude of all the nations who fought against Ariel. Now listen to this. Even all who fought against her and her fortress and distressor shall be as a dream of a night vision. Even though Israel disobeys God and God brings four nations to judge them, notice what God does in defense of his people Israel. That those who are conspiring, it's like a night dream, verse 8 to them. It shall be as when a hungry man dreams. What does a hungry man dream about? Food. And look, he eats. Where does he eat? In his dream. But he awakes and his soul is still empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreams, and look, he drinks. But he awakes. And indeed, he is faint. And his soul still craves. So the multitude of the nation shall be who fight against Mount Zion. Wow. Why? Because when you fight against Ariel, Jerusalem, Mount Zion, you fight against the God of the Bible. Nobody succeeds who goes against Israel. Nobody succeeeds who messes. And again, I'm not talking about Israel's politics. I'm talking about God's land that's his. And when you rise up and you try to put political pressures and when you try to manipulate God's people, even though they be blinded and even though they be wayward from him, that's his land and they are his people. And he will not sit idle. He says, oh yeah, you want to dream about prosperity? Well, when you wake up, you'll still be poor. Oh, are you hungry? Huh? You're hungry? Yeah, well, I tell you what, dream about it because that's all you have. Verse 9, pause and wonder. Blind yourselves and be blind. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with intoxicating drink. For the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes, namely the prophets. Ouch. And he has covered your heads, namely the seers. What does this mean? They have become drunk, not with wine and intoxicating drink. They become drunk, the word means, on false teachers, false doctrine. Listen, are you guys listening? You're so quiet. Are we out of time? Yes, but so what? Listen, they become drunk on false teachers. I was so tempted tonight to put up on the screen what's going on out there in the name of church. And then I thought, well, I don't know if I thought. I think God convicted me. Don't you dare. Because it would introduce falsehood into your mind that otherwise you may be ignorant about. That people, famous people, have millions of hits on their sites saying things about prayer, saying things about the Bible, saying things about this or that, completely false, and the church sits there because it doesn't know the Bible, cannot discern what they're saying is false or true. You and I will not have any plumb line to judge what's being said in this pulpit or any pulpit unless we have our Bibles open. And when they say, well, when you pray, expect it because God owes you. False doctrine. God owes you nothing. By the way, prayer is to bend your heart to the will of God, not to get God to be your puppet servant. Oh, I'm claiming it, brother. I'm claiming it. You just claim it, and when you wake up, you'll still be claiming it. It's a big deal. False doctrine. It's been my life's experience that when you touch someone's false doctrine, they get upset about it and they'll debate you on it. But it's interesting, when you touch their traditions, they'll kill you. Isn't that what Jesus said in Mark 7:13? He says, "For you make the word of God of no effect through your traditions, which you have handed down, and many such things you do." Jesus talks about the religionist who loves false teaching and false prophets because false prophets tell you what you want to hear. Church, listen, please leave with this in your ears. Let it be burning. Are you prone tonight to gather to yourselves teachers on the internet or go to a church that all they do is tell you what you want to hear? The Bible warns us that in the last days, one of the indicators of being in the last days is that people will heap to themselves teachers that tickle their ears. Listen, there's a lot of tickling going on. And I believe the amount of tickling is direct proportion to the lack of Bible reading. Lack of Bible reading, lack of Bible knowledge is an open door to tickling. Is it what the Bible says or is it what Pastor Tickle says? Oh, you know what? I just go because, listen, I just go because it makes me feel good. Look, I'm not against you feeling good. But every week, it's just how row-strewn path the Christian life is. And it's just so easy. I don't know. Listen, it's not easy being a Christian. See, Pastor, don't say that. I brought my friend tonight. I want them to become a Christian. I want to tell your friend something right now. We're at war. We're at war and our enemy's invisible. Okay? And your soul is the prize. It's so serious, Jesus came from heaven and earth to fix it. He died on the cross, a brutal death, and was resurrected from the dead to save you. And Satan hates your guts, and he wants to grip your soul and pull it down into hell. That's why he gets you sexed up, drugged up, dumped up, doped up, busied up, never stop and think about serious stuff. That's what he's doing. To get you so preoccupied that you don't pull back and realize, wait a minute, what is this all about? God wants you, think about it. God wants you so bad that Jesus died on the cross for you. Satan wants you so bad that he'll give you anything you want. God defends us by telling us the truth. I love that slide by George Orwell. Truth is the new hate speech. You tell the truth now, you can get arrested. Tell the truth now, you get in trouble. Tremendous thing. We have a New Testament measuring rod. God speaks to us in what's called parabolic words. Parables. The nation won't listen to God. Isaiah speaking to them in Israel won't listen. God sends them prophets, but they won't hear. And light is, as it were, coming out of their mouths, speaking truth, and they don't get it. And Jesus comes on the world scene, and he speaks. Did you know the Bible tells us that when Jesus spoke publicly, he spoke in parables? Did you know that? See, you and I have such a privilege. We have the Bible. We got to hear through the words of the pages of the Bible what they talked about around the campfire. We got to hear between Jesus and the disciples as they walked on the road. But when Jesus spoke publicly, did you know, he spoke in parables to all the people. And it was so radical. The disciples say, why do you talk to us plainly in private, but to the people you speak in parables? And Jesus said, Isaiah, and we'll talk about it next week. He said, Isaiah spoke about this. To the people I speak in parables, because seeing, it's been a long day. Seeing, they don't perceive. And hearing, they don't understand. They hear truth and they go, what? And a person, which is amazing about a parable, is that you can have two people standing here and Jesus will speak to them, or you can read a parable from the Bible. And one person will say, oh my goodness, that is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. That is so powerful. And the next person standing next to him goes, what in the world did he just say? You ever wonder about that? Parabolic teaching was actually invented by God himself. Truth goes out and it separates the real from the false. It's the same light hitting everybody. It's the same truth hitting everyone. But how it lands in the heart and how it's processed and perceived is solely dependent upon the recipient, as that person judges the word. You're judging the Bible. Every time you and I read it, we judge the Bible. Will we let it in, or will we pick and choose what we will have to be our doctrine? And there's a lot of picking and choosing today. When people say, I'm all for the God of love, well, me too. But that's not all he is. He's just. Bible doctrine is the key to your survival. We're out of time. We'll end. We have a lot more to go. We'll do it next time. But what is it you believe? It's so critical. Listen, can you defend? For example, watch this. Let's play along in closing. You can close your Bible. We're all done. Worship team can come out to prove the point. We're all done. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Raise your hand. Okay, can you prove that in the Bible? Can you argue that from Scripture? If you cannot argue it from Scripture, then you only made a claim a moment ago that you cannot back up. If you say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God because my mom told me he was, did you know that you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Well, you know, have you made him your own? Do you know why the Bible is the inerrant word of God? God's word revealed. Can you make an argument in Scripture? You must know doctrine. You must be able to give an argument for the reason, for the hope that is within you. That's why we gather on Wednesdays. That's why we gather on Sundays. That's why we gather in small groups, for doctrine. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, tonight we commit ourselves to doctrine. We wouldn't know if there's a heaven or a hell without doctrine. We wouldn't know that all of our sins can be forgiven through Jesus without doctrine. We wouldn't know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord at that moment of death outside of doctrine. We wouldn't know that your thoughts toward us are for a future and for a hope. We wouldn't know that you love us without doctrine. Father, as a church, may we be more committed to doctrine over emotion, doctrine over rumor, doctrine over website, doctrine over sermons, doctrine over preaching. Doctrine. And Lord, tonight I pray that you'd baptize us afresh in the power of your Holy Spirit. Come upon us, Lord. And may we go forth with the reality, the fact, the truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of not only everyone in this room, but for all the world. That truth goes out, but how a heart receives it, that's personal. It's my prayer tonight that if you're in this place, that you would have said yes to that truth, that yes, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, yes. If tonight that's your decision, you tell him yes. You say, Lord, yes, I want that to be my reality, my truth. I want to receive the forgiveness of God that comes through Jesus Christ at the cross for me. And quite frankly, friend, if you're here tonight and you're saying, I don't need any of this junk, I pray with love for you and compassion for you. I pray that you will not be able to rest day or night. I pray that you won't be able to sleep until you bow your knee to Jesus, the lover of your soul. But that choice is yours. But as for us in this house, we will serve the Lord.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Cure for Hypocrisy, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate you being here. And don't hold back from speaking the truth. The Bible calls you blessed when you do. The Cure for Hypocrisy Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack's Who Told You series is now on MP3 USB? Without a doubt, this three-part series deals with what might be one of the most controversial doctrines in the Bible. The topic is on what the Bible says about future events. And you know, the greatest Bible prophecy was first revealed to us in Genesis chapter 3, when God himself foretold the salvation of mankind. In fact, the entire Bible is about God revealing himself to us with the purpose of saving us from our sin. The Who Told You series answers tough questions like, who told you that Jesus is the Christ? And who told you about the end times? The Who Told You series is now available on MP3 USB, and you'll find it at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.